Tonight, this is the part three of Bold as a Lion. And our objective is the same. Understanding what it takes to assume our lionic status in God. So far we have looked at six of the characters of the lion. Can we go over it from the scratch? We say that lions are animals of royalty, authority, rulership, and dominion. Two, they are territorial commanders. They command territories. They take charge. Number three, they are not prey. They are predators. They are not the ones to be pursued. They are the pursuers. Four, they are restful. There is a confidence that makes them unperturbed. Number seven, says five, they accept the responsibility for the lifting of themselves. They don't wait for who will do it for them. Number six, once they are triggered for action, they don't rest until the task is accomplished. They go after it, and the day is not meant to end until what they went after is accomplished. Number seven is what we are going into right now. We look at number seven, eight, and nine. Number seven, lions are very, very aggressive and violent. They are very aggressive and violent. If God is saying the righteous are like the lion, then he's expecting us. In Deuteronomy chapter 33 and in verse 20, he said, and of God he said, blessed be he that enlargeth God. He dwelleth as a lion and teareth the arm with the crown of the head. It takes a level of violence to tear an arm off. Some time ago, while I was in East Africa, and I was being told the story of the lion, they said once in a while a dog can come home missing one ear. The ear is missing. He escaped being eaten by a lion, just by the whisker, who just took off the ear. And he escaped for his life. Violence. Aggression. In Matthew chapter 11 and in verse 12, the Bible says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffer violence, and the violent take it by force. Violence is needed for kingdom impact. Violence. If you look through the scripture, you will see how God, in some ways, is in love with an aggressivity of spirit. Example, the Levites. The Levites, in Genesis chapter 34, from verse 1 all the way to verse 25, Simeon and Levi took force in their own hands and went and executed Hamor and Shechem his son. Shechem and Hamor his son. The father Hamor, the father of Shechem. Hamor and Shechem his son.
who slept with Dinah, their daughter. You remember the story? How Levi and Simeon told the people to circumcise themselves if they want to marry into their family. And the people circumcise themselves. And in verse 25, Simeon and Levi went. And it came to pass on the third day when they were sore, that the two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males. And they slew Hamor and Shechem, that's the king of a land, his son with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. That was too violent. That was too aggressive. It was so violent and so aggressive that when Jacob was dying, he placed a curse on Simeon and Levi. In Genesis 49 and in verse 5 to verse 7, he placed a curse there. Genesis 49, it says, Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. Oh my soul, come not down into their secret, unto their assembly, mine honor. Be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a well. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. That was the conclusion of Jacob, their father. But many years later, God will need that anger from violence, from Levi. He will need that, he will require that aggression. In Exodus chapter 32, when the children of Israel worshiped the molten calf, when they were dancing to the molten image, God said, this is the time I will need the violence that Levi has. I will need the anger that Levi has. I will need the fire that Levi has. And Moses came and said, who is on the Lord's side? Exodus 32 verse 26. All the way to verse 28. Who is on the Lord's side? Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side. And go in and out. The God of Israel is the one talking. Go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp. Slay, kill every man his brother and every man his companion and every man his neighbor. That is all the people who bowed to the idol, who worshiped the golden calf. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. Whereas Levi and Simeon were cursed because they were so angry. God was requesting that anger right now, and that anger turned away the wrath of God, and God put a stamp on that anger by appointing them priesthood over Israel. He said, there is a time when I will need your violence. There is a time I will need your aggression. There is a time I will need your anger. I will require and request your anger. Beloved brothers and sisters, if we are truly lions, if we are truly lions, if we are truly lions, there is a violence, an aggression, an anger that is needed in order for us to fulfill the purpose of God for our generation. David was angry in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and in verse 45 to 51 and then 54 and 57. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the earth and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Keep going. And David put his hand in his bag, and he took thence a stone, slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in David's hand. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath and slew him. Look at the anger in David's heart. And he cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Jump to verse 54. And David took the head. He cut the 17-year-old boy with an aggression, a violence on the behalf of the God of Israel. He cut the head of the Philistine, carried the head, and took it to Jerusalem. He's holding the head, dripping with blood. Took it back to the capital city. I like you to picture it. And his heart didn't shake, and he didn't feel bad, and he was okay. This is a 17-year-old boy. No wonder God called David the man after my heart, that can exhibit any level of anger, any level of violence, any level of aggression to enforce the purpose of God for his generation. Pastors are plenty, but angry people are few. Apostles are plenty, but people with spiritual aggression are few. I don't know whether you are ready to hear this kind of thing I'm preaching to you here today. There is not much we can accomplish for God in our generation without a massive dose of anger, a massive dose of aggression, a massive dose of violence against the forces of darkness. The only way we will succeed tonight is that you leave here angry. You leave here with some level of anger against all that the enemy has done. And in verse 57, David carried the head. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul, with the head of the Philistine in his hand. That head was very important to him. He carried it from the battlefield first, took it to Jerusalem, probably kept it in his house. They said, Saul is looking for you. He carried the head. Mahashatakalabada. The reason why the devil is on rampage in many communities, why Goliaths are oppressing generations of people, nations of people, is that angry people are scarce. Violent people are scarce. Aggressive people are scarce. The strength of the oppressor is in the tolerance of the oppressed. Every oppressor, whether it's devil as an oppressor or oppressive systems, the strength of the oppressor is in the tolerance of the oppressed, is in the patience of the oppressed, is in the calmness of the oppressed. Once the oppressed decide enough is enough, decide I can't put up with this anymore, decide enough is enough for the devil, then the strength of the oppressor can be broken. I'm going to come to that shortly. Because all the points I'm going to make tonight are linked. They are connected. Why do we need anger? Okay, look at Elijah. Elijah was one of the most aggressive prophets in the Bible. One of the most angry personalities. One of the most violent. Elijah once got so angry until in 1 Kings chapter 18 and in verse 40, he slew, and Elijah said to them, "Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape." And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. 850 prophets with an anger, a violence that was defending the name of God. Why is anger necessary? Why is anger necessary? Why is aggression necessary? Number one, anger is needed to put the enemy where he belongs. To put the enemy where he belongs. We need an angry heart. We need an angry spirit. We need an aggressive heart. An aggressive, violent spirit to put the enemy where he belongs. Why is anger necessary? Why should we be angry? Why should we be violent? Why should we be aggressive? Second, anger is needed to enforce the will of God. Enforce the will of God. Oh, if you leave the devil, he will do what he wants. But God is looking for some angry people, some aggressive people to enforce his will on the earth. Why is anger necessary? Anger is necessary to take what is ours in God. What is ours in God? What is ours in God is takeable by anger. The other day I was talking with our Father in the Lord. Because in the realm of aggression, in the realm of forcefulness, in the realm of anger against the works of the devil, we share a lot in common. So I said to him, "Sir, it is a command. Ephesians 4:26. We are commanded. Be angry. If you stop there, it makes sense. Be angry." He didn't say, "When you are angry, sin not." He said, "Be angry." He didn't say, "In case anything makes you angry, ensure you don't sin." Mm-mm. Be angry. Be angry. That is, anger is a necessity at certain times. Anger is commanded under certain circumstances. There are things you can never achieve with your life, achieve with your God, achieve in your assignment until you are angry. Be angry with stagnation. Be angry with stagnation. Be angry with oppression. Be angry with backwardness. Be angry with stagnation. Be angry with affliction. Be angry with infirmity. Be angry with the devil that wants to bury your family members. Just ensure that your anger does not lead you to sin. That's what he says. Don't just ensure that the anger doesn't lead you to sin. Ensure that the anger leads you in righteousness. Let it be a righteous anger. Let it be a righteous rebellion against the devil. Hey! I'm not saying be angry until you slap your wife. That is a demonic anger. I'm not saying be angry until your children are running away from you when they see you coming. That is a demonic anger. I'm not saying be angry until all your employees are under pressure, are oppressed by you. That is a demonic anger. I am saying be angry until you are coming, the devil is on the run. Be angry until wicked agents of darkness are released out of their position of oppression. Be angry until the agenda of darkness is terminated.
If I have any gift, it's a gift of being angry. I can be smiling and under a flicker of a second, the eyes change on the spot, irrespective, depending on what the situation is. Depending on what the situation is, it changes on the spot. Makoshato palaparata kalagayada, leka parata satolabrada.
That was Jalingo Crusade. This picture was the first night of Jalingo Crusade. I was looking at a crowd of people and I said to myself, this is the crowd of people that terror said they shouldn't worship God. That devil is a bastard liar. Is this amount of people that the devil is saying they shouldn't exist in this territory? They shouldn't serve God in this territory. They shouldn't bow to the God of heaven in this territory. The devil that can succeed in that has not been born. It's not during our watch. We are on a watch. It's not during our watch. And we are going to be here for a very long time. It's not during our watch. The devil won't mess up in our watch. The devil won't behave like a drunkard in our watch. Not during our watch. I pray for somebody tonight that God will baptize you with sufficient anger, baptize you with sufficient violence, baptize you with sufficient spiritual aggression. Many of us we are too timid, we are too gentle, we are too amicable with the devil. We are behaving like we are negotiating with the devil. The devil finds us very, 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 very tolerant. The devil finds us very, very tolerant. The devil finds us very, very tolerant. Papa Yerepo said, when they went to Kaduna many years ago, they said they cannot give them that the land where they were for church because it is a residential area. The person they sent to him, they said, this region, you can't build church there. He said, are your places of worship, are your mosque, are they in the bush? Said, let me see the person who will say we can't worship here. Anger made him survive Kaduna. Yes, yes. It made him survive there. During one of those crises, there were all manner of killings. He drove his Mercedes Benz to Amadu Beluwe, sent at the and sat on the bonnet, crossed his leg. Let me see who. We need to come to the point. Be angry. Be angry. Be aggressive. Be forceful. Let the devil look into your eyes in the spirit and let him change his intention. He changed his mind. Take your seat. The next after this spiritual aggression, Number eight. The lion roars fiercely. It roars. One thing we know about the lion is the lion roars. Judges chapter 14 and in verse 5, the Bible says, concerning Samson, then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. Lions roar. Job chapter 4
And in verse 10, he talked about the roar of the lion, the roaring of the lion, and the voice of the fierce lion. The roaring. Listen to this. Nothing is qualified to be called a lion without a roar. You are not qualified to be called a lion without a roar. Many are behaving like they are lions that have no roar. Listen to this. A roarless lion is a useless lion. A roarless lion is not different from a sheep. It's not different from a goat. A roarless lion. A roarless lion. Lions roar for many things, but two things are very critical. Number one, lions roar to maintain territory. We said that the other day. Lions roar to maintain territory. To confirm this is their territory. And second, lions roar against the forces of their enemy. Against the forces of their enemy. Lions roar against the enemy. They roar against the wicked. They roar against the forces of their enemy. When was your last roar? When last did you raise your voice against the enemy? When last did you raise your voice against the forces of darkness? When last did you raise your voice against the forces of evil in your community? When last did you raise your voice against the forces of evil in your generation? Bad people triumph because evil people triumph because good people are silent. In our place, they say silence is consent. When you are silent, when you are silent in the face of affliction, you are in agreement. Silence equals consent. When you refuse to roar against the devil, against the oppression, against the oppressor, you are actually aiding the oppressor. You are aiding and abetting its oppression. There are many nations today where there is monumental evil against the people. The silence of the people is consent with evil authority. It's consent. Even if they charmed you, it is consent. You agree. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Mahusha talk about the Kalaka. Only one Elijah was enough for his generation. Our challenge is that there is a bankruptcy of Elijahs in our generation. Men who will rise to roar. To roar in the closet at the place of prayer. To roar in the public space and call evil evil. And call wickedness wickedness. And call oppression oppression. And call this. You call it the way it is. We have a shortage of such people. So there is a triumph of evil. See what the pastor from Togo said. That politicians divided the pastors. That are what Jack Lawson said. He said they divided them for money, right? So there are some that belong to this politician and some others belong to the other politician.
And there are many, many who are prophets of politicians. I was telling someone the other day, I said, what kind of prophecy do you have for a blood-sucking politician? What kind of prophecy do you have for a killer politician? Other than the judgment of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? What kind of prophecy do you have for a blood sucker, for people who kill people in order to occupy positions? What else do you have other than the hand of God is against you? But I see people rising out of here that God is going to use with a roar in your voice. A roar in your voice. A roar from your heart, from your voice. Against the forces of darkness. Against the forces of wickedness. Against the agenda of evil. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. If you are saying amen, shout it loud, but say amen. Lift your hands and say, Father, give me the grace to roar in my generation, to roar against the forces of wickedness, to roar. Help me, Lord, to roar. You may not have the ability to change things by yourself, but you have the ability to roar against them. You have the ability to make your position known. And to let God and the devil know where you stand. You see, in the Bible, please take your seat. Pharaoh held the people of God down for 430 years. Don't bother, it is raining. He held the people of God down for 430 years. Until God sent Moses with a roar. Exodus chapter 4 verse 23. Moses went with a roar. He said, I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay your son, even thy firstborn. Where are the Moses generation of people that will roar against Pharaoh? Where are the Moses generation of people that will roar against the altars of your father's house? Where are the Moses generation of people that will make people realize that God still has Elijahs? Where are the Moses generation of people? Are you following what I'm saying here today? There are many, many people. It is only a feel-good gospel that they have to preach. Feel good. They have never confronted anything. Never confronted an unrighteousness. Never confronted oppression. Never confronted anything. But it is over. It is over. It is over. It is over. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. You look at the second example of Elijah. Elijah was in the land of Israel, and he rose up and roared against Jezebel and Ahab. 1 Kings 17:1. Elijah said, before God whom I stand, there shall be no rain, no dew, except by my word. He roared against Jezebel. He roared against Ahab. He roared against the prophets of Baal. In 1 Kings chapter 18 verse 24. If God be God, serve him. And if Baal, serve him. The God that answered by fire, let him be God. He roared. But you know, the one that touched me the most was David and Goliath. David and Goliath. For 40 days, 40 days, Goliath moved like a human mountain. Every single day, give me a man that will fight together. If I kill him, you will be our servants. If he kills me, we will be your servants. Give me a man. Let's fight together. Day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, day seven, 40 days. Nobody could confront Goliath. All the men turned into chickens. Men of war became chickens in the battlefield. There was not one man among them, including Saul, king of Israel. They were all emasculated, almost castrated, right? For 40 days. While that was going on, then David arrived. And he said, who is this person roaring? And nobody can confront this roaring. Who is this person that is roaring? What lion is this roaring that cannot be challenged by a counter roar? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? I better die than watch this man defy the armies of the living God. And David began to march roar with roar. He began to match roar with roar. Began to match roar with roar. Began to match roar with roar. Long story made short. Goliath, you come to me with a sword and a spear. I am coming to you in the name of the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. He roared. He had the final say. And Goliath collapsed. See, there are many of us here. There are many Goliaths facing the congregation where you pastor, facing the community you have come from. There are many Goliaths. Oh, Mashato Kolabadagalagadaya. In the community where you are, in the nation where you are, in the state where you are, there are many Goliaths. And you need to rise up and tell the Goliath, enough is enough. We're going to wanted to have a program sometime in London. Was it Trafalgar Square or somewhere? Wanted to have an open air crusade. And they told it, and were told it was not available. And later on it became available for another set of people. Then we had the Glory Conference. And all the Britons, Caucasians, that were in the meeting, I said to them, your fathers brought us the gospel. Now you have so turned away from the gospel that visitors are taking over your land. And it is becoming, that's the program right there, and it is becoming difficult even for you people to have a say in your own land. I said, you better wake up and take your nation back. Take your nation back. Take your country back. I don't know how many people heard that. But just a few weeks ago, 100,000 Britons were on the streets. So we need our nation back. We need our nation back. We need our nation back. Enough is enough. They were against all manner of immigration policies that brought all manner of people to their nation. We need our nation back. They walk through the streets. And I trust the Lord that that kind of a thing will be more frequent until every nation takes their nation back. Hey! 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 Can somebody stand up and roar a little bit? Roar a little bit. Roar a little bit. Roar a little bit. Roar a little bit. Open your mouth and pray with a roar. Roar a little bit. Roar against the devil. Roar against the devil. Roar against the devil. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. Roar against the devil, against the inventions of the devil, against the machinations of the devil in your community, in your territory. Afraid to roar, and I'll talk about that shortly. But let it be clear to you. He said, the Lord shall be a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty to the residue of his people, and for strength to him. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people, and he shall be for strength to him that turned the battle to the gate. Strength. When God sees, and for his spirit of judgment to him that seated in judgment, the man who is declaring audaciously, he releases upon him the spirit of judgment and then gives him strength to turn the battle. But what must be known is that until you roar, God has nothing to confirm. He confirmed the word of his servant and performed the counsel of his messengers. Evil cannot survive here. This land belongs to Jesus, not the devil. The Philippines is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Argentina is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. India is the Lord's. Belgium is the Lord's. Australia is the Lord's. Portugal is the Lord's. Cameroon, Angola, Namibia is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Evil cannot survive here. Until we roar, God has nothing to confirm. Angels have nothing to run with, because they excel in strength at the sound of his word. I want you to roar again for 1 minute. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Evil cannot survive.
Evil can never survive.
Where I am. open your mouth and roar in the spirit. Evil can never survive for 1 minute, cannot survive. The agenda of darkness cannot survive where I am. Jesus. The Lord heard and answered us in Jesus' name. Take your seat. Let me round off with this. Every pastor, every minister, every child of God here, in your time of prayer, in your daytime, in your pulpit time, curse evil to the roots. Curse the agenda of wickedness in your country, in your nation, in your community. Curse it to their roots. Roar with aggression. Let it come with a force. I am here, positioned here for such a time as this. I am a watchman for God in this territory. He said, I sought for a man that will stand in the gap. What is it that will help our anger? What is it that will help our roar? That is the number 8. It is called a fearless, unshakable heart. Lions possess number 8. Fearless, unshakable number 9. Fearless, unshakable hearts. The heart, that is what is called the heart of a lion. The heart of a lion. Lions possess fearless, unshakable heart. In 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 9 to verse 10. Behold, he is hid now in some pit or in some other place. And it will come to pass, where some of them be overthrown at first, that whosoever heareth it will say, there is a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. That's the counsel that I think Hushai was giving to Absalom. And he also that is valiant, whose heart is as the heart of a lion. So there is a heart of a lion. The lion's heart is responsible for 3 things. 1. The lion heart is the reason for the lion's share. The share of the lion is bigger than the share of the goat. It takes a lion heart to have a lion's share in life. 2. The lion's heart is the reason for the lion's mark, the mark he makes, the impact he has. The lion's heart is responsible for the lion's mark, the lion's impact. And thirdly, the lion's heart is the reason for the lion's force, the lion's force. must declare is that God cannot do much with the fearful. God cannot do much with the faint-hearted. You can't fulfill great visions with a faint heart. God can't do much with the fearful. God cannot do much with a faint-hearted. You don't fulfill great visions with a faint heart. You see what happened in Israel? Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 2 to verse 4, and then verse 8. Verse 2 to verse 4, then verse 8. And it shall be, when you are come near unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak to the people. And he shall say to them, hear, O Israel, you approach this day unto the battle against your enemies. Let not your hands faint. Fear not and do not tremble. Neither be terrified. Why? Because you lose the battle. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Now in verse 8 he said, and the officer shall speak further to the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his house, lest he will infect others with fear, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. It's a virus. You cannot win life's battle with a fearful heart. You can't win spiritual battles with a fearful heart. You can't win the battles of your destiny with a fearful heart. You can't become, you can't accomplish what God wants you to accomplish with your life with a fearful heart. And of course, with fear, you infect the others who are not afraid. God cannot, you see, when you are playing with fear, you are actually playing with your destiny. There are so many who could have been far into what God has ordained for their lives. They could have gone very, very far. But fear, timidity, faint-heartedness. They can't roar when they should roar. They can't be angry when they should be angry. They are too conscious of reaction. They are too cautious. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we are not careful to answer you. Those who take care don't take much out of life. Too much care. Those who fear reactions don't take actions. There are actions you take and you damn the reactions from the devil. You damn the consequences from hell. You damn the... If there is anything I trust God for tonight, let somebody's heart be lionized. Let somebody's heart be lionized tonight. Let somebody's vegetable heart give way for a lion's heart. You believe that? Say the Lord and say amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? There is the heart of a lion. There are people who shake at the sound of a vegetable. This program is all about coming to the point where your heart becomes another heart. God gave Saul another heart. Where God gives you another heart, a daring heart, and a forceful heart, fearless heart. You know what happened to Gideon? Gideon had 32,000 people who joined him. I'd like you to hear something. 32,000 people were with Gideon to go and fight the Midianites. Judges chapter 7, verse 3 to verse 7. 32,000 people.
God said to Gideon, proclaiming the ears of the people, saying, this battle you are going now, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. Any among you who is afraid, all of you say, who will go for war? You have agreed to come. But this, because others came, but inside your heart you are afraid. Separate yourself. How many out of 32? 22,000. 22,000 out of 32,000. That shows us the percentage of timid people in our generation. The percentage of emasculated people. The percentage of spineless people. People who can, who are unable to stand for anything in our generation. People with mouth but without heart. People that cower and bend under real force and real confrontation. 22,000 went back. Then God said, these 10,000 left, they are still too many for me. Take them to the waters. Please sit down. Take them to the waters. There are those who will lie down flat and put their mouth to the water. And there are those who will take the water and drink like this. And drink like this. There are those who will be drinking. And there are those who will be like this. The people who took the water and took to their mouth were 300 out of 10,000. 9,700. He said, return them back home. Because their mouth is straight to the water. They are not any enemy looking for them will just kill them on the spot. They are not strategic at all. They are not sensitive at all. They are not precise at all. They don't know how to be strategic. These ones are lapping the water and watching in case an enemy is coming. Say, only these 300 I will use. Not everybody available is usable. There are many who are presenting themselves. Here am I, use me. Here am I, use me. As the Lord wants somebody. Here am I, use me. And then God said, I cannot use you. I cannot use you. For your fear is too much. Oh. I cannot use you. You are too relaxed. You are not strategic at all. So I cannot use you now. There are only 300 people. We are ruthless and brutal and fearless and strategic. And God says, with these 300 people, I will overrun the enemy. And God overran the enemy with 300 people instead of 32,000 people. Beloved brothers and sisters, God is not looking for the crowd right now. God is looking for a crop of people. A crop of fearless people. A crop of strategic people. And if there is anyone among them, shout, I am here. I don't know what you are doing with fear. I don't know what you are doing right now with fear. I don't know what you will be doing right. I don't know the profit of fear to your life now. At the end of this message, I will tell you to hate fear like you hate sin. And to hate fear like you hate hell. I'll show you that shortly. To hate fear like you hate sin. And hate fear like you hate hell. I like you to come to the point and say, Father, give me the heart of a lion. That same heart with which Jesus confronted the cross and confronted the forces of darkness. I need that heart now. Many of us, we have had experiences in time past that the enemy used to implant fear in your head. The enemy made you feel like you could be killed. Or that this, see what happened to you last time. Let God reformat your brain. Somebody say reformat. Let God reformat your mind, reformat your heart, reformat your spirit, and turn you rugged afresh against the devil. Lift your hands and say, Father, I make demands on the heart of a lion. I receive now in the name of Jesus. Don't forget, please take your seat. I'm rounding off now. God cannot do much with the fearful. Now, I show you this final one, and then we will rise up and pray. Matthew chapter 14. And in Matthew chapter 14, verse 25 to 29. And in the fourth watch, there was a storm. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. And straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, I want to be a lion. Bid me to come unto you on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Listen. He was a lion for a moment. He dared what others could not dare. But I can tell you, it is better to be a lion for a day than to be a goat all your life. He was a lion for a moment. He was fearless for a moment. He was daring for a moment. And let me tell you what happened to him. Three things. If you can have a fearless heart, number one, you will be able to walk on any storm. Peter walked on the storm because for the moment he had a heart that was fearless. You will be able to walk on any storm of life, of destiny, of ministry, if you can have a heart that is fearless. Number two, a fearless heart will make you accomplish results that your contemporaries can never dare. Peter was the only apostle who walked on water. There was no record of another apostle that walked on water. Because even for a moment, he decided to be a lion. The reason why we are not all at the same level of results is because we don't all have the same level of heart. From my degree in Nigeria, Northeast Nigeria, last year, maybe you can show us the crusade of my degree. Without any doubt, equivocation, or ambivalence, my degree is capital of terror in this country. When there, March last year, did open air crusades for 2 days. Will you show it on the screen? Morning and evening. We went to two camps, the Muslim camp and the Christian camp. We dug borehole and gave welfare to the Muslim camp and did the same to the Christian camp. Show the real crusade. Show the turnout of the crusade. think you have better shots. I think you have better shots. We left Maiduguri. We left Maiduguri and went straight to Pakistan. I'm sure you know Pakistan, right? Pakistan was where they caught Osama bin Laden. Pakistan. We went there. How can you leave Maiduguri to Pakistan? We had the open air crusade in Pakistan the first night. Crowds. Go ahead. I thought you'd show us more of the crowd. By the next day in the afternoon, we were told that we cannot leave the hotel. Security situation is not guaranteed. Crusade the second evening is not holdable. The crowd surged and filled everywhere. So both for security and safety reasons, the second night could not hold. But we had a minister's conference. By the time we finished and we were going, it appeared like the devil said, "What happened? What just happened to us?" And then we finished and we returned back to Nigeria. I was talking to a soldier man, a military officer retired. He said he has been to that place before many times, some times ago. He has been there before once, and he will never go back there another time in his life. One of the states we went for crusade. We went there last year. We scheduled another crusade this year. This year, the same place. This time, three different cities. Don't worry, some of you, I'll carry you there. I'll go with you there. You will go. He says he wants to go to UK. No, no. We'll go there. By the time we landed, and my doctor, Mr. Nature, saw, he said Pakistan has boundary with Iran, has boundary with Afghanistan. She said, "What? Is this where you brought me to?" The reason why most of us, our results can't be the same, is that our hearts are not the same. There is a time where you have motion despite fear. Fear all around, yet you are in motion. But let me say this, and let me round off. Have I told you the tough thing that Peter achieved because of this? The fearlessness made Peter to walk on the storm. The fearlessness made Peter to accomplish results that his contemporaries could never dare. Thirdly, if you are fearless, you step into the dimensions of the master. The dimensions of the master. The dimension of operation that Jesus himself operated. The only person that walked on water was Jesus. The next person that walked on water was Peter. That is, he was able to achieve the results of his master. That is, if you can come to the point where you are daring, you can come to the point where you are fearless. The works that I do shall you do, and greater works than this shall you do, because I go to the Father. But in summary, in conclusion, Peter began to fear and he began to sink. Write this down.
Don't forget it. Divine manifestations can never be sustained in the climate of fear. Divine manifestations can never be sustained in the climate of fear. What God wants to do and what God has done cannot remain in the climate of fear. God wants to do so much, but He is limited by our fear. He is limited by our cowardice. Climate of fear. When you begin to fear, your results begin to disappear. Results that God already gave you, results that God already gave you begin to disappear. When you begin to fear, they begin to disappear. When you begin to fear. If tonight, what I can trust, we can trust God for, is, Lord, give me a fearless heart, a daring heart, the heart of a lion. I have feared enough. I have feared enough. I have feared enough. And fear has deprived me of results enough. Has deprived me of manifestations enough. There are things I should have stepped into, but fear never allowed me. Father, enough of fear. Enough of fear. Enough of timidity. Enough of fear. We couldn't dare this if there was fear. We couldn't have gone to Abuja Stadium 19 years ago. 19 years. If there was fear. Some of the programs and the things we have dared, we couldn't have dared them if there was fear. I told you, God is waiting for you to be through with fear, so He can do great things or greater things. He is waiting for you to become bold like a lion, to become audacious and ferocious, so He can do things that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, things that have not entered the heart of man. Somebody here say loud amen. Somebody here say loud amen. Somebody here jump on your feet and shout the loudest amen. Shout it loudest, a loudest amen. Loudest amen. Loudest amen. Loudmost amen. Say after me, I hate fear. And I reject fear. I refuse fear. Remain standing. I told you to hate fear like you hate sin. Hate fear like you hate hell. Is there any biblical basis? Revelation 21 verse 8. You won't believe it. Everybody read. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Fear take person to hell. I didn't write it. Fear put somebody in the class of a witch. Is fearful and sorcerer are in the same class. No. Fear can't take me to hell. Demon, you spirit of fear, you can't take me to hell. Fear means that you believe more in the badness of the devil than you believe in the goodness of God. That you believe more in the wickedness of the devil than you believe in the powerfulness of God.
that your belief more is that the devil will succeed against your life. You believe that more than you believe in God. That's what gives people the channel of fear and channels them away from God. You doubt me. You don't believe me. You don't believe I can save you, help you, heal you, deliver you, liberate you. You have faith in the fear. It's actually faith in the devil.
Hate fear. Like you hate hell. Hate fear. Like you hate the devil. Tonight, we are going to take the communion. Father, turn this vegetable heart into a lion's heart. Turn this chicken heart into a lion's heart.
Many of us think we are bold until you see things that will shake your heart. Lord, shift me to another level. 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 Lift up your two hands now and say, Father, thank you for your word. In the name of Jesus, I come before you today. I ask for the impartation of the heart of the lion.
Are you ready to pray? Are you ready to pray? Are you ready to pray?
Will you pray for the next 3 minutes with boldness? Now say, Father,
Father,
I come before you today.
I ask
that you help me
with
a fresh baptism of violence, of anger, of aggression. Father, help me to roar like a lion, not to be quiet or silent when there is evil or wickedness in my territory. Help me, Lord, with the heart of a lion, with a fearless heart. Open your mouth and pray right now.
Rakasa ke peto sa tele de 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 de
In the name of Jesus, place your hand on your chest and ask God to burn every vegetable heart, every fearful heart. Send your fire on this heart for the next 2 minutes. Send your fire. He said, when he spoke to me, did not our hearts burn? Send your fire to burn fear, to burn timidity, to burn cowardice. Send your fire to impart audacity, ruggedity, forcefulness. Lift your voice and say, Father, send your fire to my heart. Let it burn every trace of fearfulness, of timidity. Now, pray! Jesus.